First, I want to start by saying I'm incredibly thankful for the opportunity that y'all gave me to come here. And I'm sincerely thankful for the good fellowship that Maple Grove and Hilltop has Amen. With one another. Like Brother Jeff mentioned, I got to work with him a little in revival this year, and I got to work with Brother Daniel up there at New Hope. And several of y'all's brethren have come and preached for us at Maple Grove and helped us in revival different times. And just most certainly thankful for this church and what it stands for. And thankful that y'all brought up such a strong preacher as in Brother Heath. I sincerely loved him also. He encouraged me to preach so much when I first started. And he'd call me and ask me to come down there at Knob Springs and make a feeble effort, but he'd always call me when I got done and ask me how things went. Brother Heath had something I believe that all of us as brethren ought to long to have. He had backbone when he was in a pulpit, and I sincerely love that. That's something that a lot of our churches are lacking. And that's something that a lot of us as brethren are lacking. Sometimes there's some hard messages to preach, and sometimes you just got to throw it out there, I guess. And before I get started on my thought tonight, I just want to say I don't have a fault with Hilltop any shape or form, and I don't have a fault with nobody here. But all I know to do is to preach what the Lord put on my heart. And I'm going to look over in the book of Romans in the first chapter. And I'm going to start around that 18th verse. And I'll forewarn y'all, I'm probably about as scatterbrained as it comes. But starting in that 18th verse there, it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shewed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him, not as God, neither were thankful, but become vain in their imaginations and their foolish heart and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory, uncorruptible and God, into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one towards another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do these things which are not convenient, being filled with unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignant and whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers without natural affection, impalpable, unmerciful, who know in the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." I know that's a lot of reading there. My thought tonight is scattered as it may be, is it seems to be a great fault in the world today, and I believe that it sometimes creeps in amongst us as church members and amongst us as God's children. It's seemingly that there's no shame in sin anymore. In our world, there seems to be no shame in sin. But and while that concerns me, it most certainly concerns me when I see it in amongst God's people, when I see it in our church houses. And I know church discipline's one of them touchy subjects that sometimes hurts people. But a church needs to be well-disciplined. And there's a reason for that. I know discipline is incredibly uncomfortable at times. And I know when you do that, you take the stance that sometimes you offend people. But I pose a question. Are we more worried about offending people or offending God? Should we not be worried what God thinks of us and thinks of the church? Should we not want to handle things how God would want us to handle them? You know, I've only ever seen one person join a church back by restoration. You know, every time the doors of the church gets open, that gets mentioned. And I tell you, the church it was at New Design one night. Me and Hannah always try to visit out there at least one night in revival. And that's a little church out there I just think the world of. You get out there, they still shout out there. That seems to be a rarity in amongst us anymore. But we went out there one night, and I can't remember who preached or what was preached about, but nonetheless, we'd had a good service, and there was a little lady stood up from out there at Romans, and she apologized to the church. And that church just unleashed a shout, and everybody got happy, and they was a hugging. And you felt that love in there. Yeah. And it's good to be places when you can just feel the love in there. I love it when you can see that amongst God's people. But what I want to get at tonight is sin still needs to be called sin. We as brethren and sisters, and most importantly us as brethren and preaching brethren, we need to ground ourselves in the truth. And we need to be willing to call sin what it is. It's sin. And we can look out in the world and say all these things. There's so many different ways you can go with this. You know, one thing you can look at is they've legalized gay marriage, for say. I don't believe gay marriage exists. When you look over in the book of Mark, it tells us that's between a man and a woman. I don't believe gay marriage exists. They can do whatever they want to at the laws of man, but at the end of the day, this is the law. But what I want to get at with that is the world, that's becoming accepted. And sometimes that seemingly you see people take sort of a weak stance with that. And when I say that is I've got homosexual people in my family and I disagree with that. And I make that plain. I've only ever officiated 3 weddings, and two of them has been a wedding in my family. And that one wedding, and I got a little thing I've always shortly read off when I've done weddings. And you get right there, and I've always read that over there from Mark 10. When I got to reading that, I could just see the sour looks out there of the people in my family. But the Word of God says what the Word of God says. I tell you, we can't cower in that. We can't change that and get to bending it and twisting it so people like it. It is what it is, and you just have to throw it out there and let it be what it is. But what I look over here, and another thing to get at is something that we get accused of preaching quite often. I've had this argument with several in amongst my family because I've seemingly been accused of preaching it, and I ain't ever preached it, and I've never heard any of my brethren preach it. I am a full-fledged believer of security of the believer. I believe that with my whole heart, that once somebody has been saved, they cannot lose it. Amen. But we as saved people cannot live however we please. Amen. We get accused of preaching that once you're saved, you can go out and do as you please. That is most certainly contrary to the Word. Amen. And what happens with this here is on one hand, we teach that once somebody is saved, that they don't sin, and on the other hand, we do. And what happens there that causes this confusion is most people don't understand that man is a twofold being. Amen. There is an inward man and there is an outward man. God saves the inward man. And I want to look over at the book of Hebrews for a second, and that'll be the 12th chapter where I'm going to go with over there. And I want to look at that 6th verse over there, and it says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chastiseth, and he scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastising, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chastiseth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons." See, that 8th verse right there makes that pretty clear, don't it? You're bastards and not sons. In other words, if you've been saved by the grace of God, when we misstep, the Lord deals with us. I'm satisfied anybody here tonight that's been saved by the grace of God, when we've misstepped, we've all felt that rod of discipline. So many times that I've failed, me and the Lord meet in conversation, and I just don't like it. The Lord's dealt with me a whole lot over things. Sometimes I just don't believe saved people can waller in sin. And trust me, when I get to failing and misstepping, the Lord gets pretty rough on me. So many times I've led out in prayer asking the Lord to forgive me for my sins and shortcomings and my faults and my failures. I tell you, self-examination can go a long way, and it's seemingly something that we don't know how to do. But I tell you, that man that looks me back in the mirror most time, I don't like him. I tell you, I struggle with things. I'm probably about the weakest preacher there is. That man that looks me back in the mirror, I just don't like him most of the time. Because I'm ashamed of what I am a lot of times. You know, but so many times Brother Marty Mader probably gave me one of the best pieces of advice I've received in my time preaching. And he was teaching a lesson up there at Macon, and he got on that subject of fellowship. And I had never considered this, but when you look over at Matthew 6:6, it talks about us entering into a closet when we go to pray. And he posed the question about asking to enter into thy closet. That was the best piece of advice I ever received in my ministry. I went home that night. I asked the Lord to allow me to enter the closet for a little while. You know, in Greed Over, I believe it's Jude 1:20, it talks about us praying in the Holy Ghost. I tell you, it feels good when you can get down there in prayer and you can get close. You know, just like when the Lord saved me on a Thursday evening at a fence row, and he dealt with me. And he just kept dealing with me. He laid a heavy load of conviction on me, and I couldn't get away from it. He just kept telling me to pray. And I finally leaned over the side of a truck, and I asked the Lord to help me. And he spoke a burden to me. Lord, I felt awful close then. But it's good to get down in prayer, and you can get just like he was when he saved you. When you intake all the burdens that we get in this lifetime, and you just lay them down, and when you get up, there ain't no more turmoil. I tell you, when you get down and you pray like you ought to, you can come up and there just ain't no more turmoil. You can have peace about things. I believe as simply as it can come, salvation is peace with God. Amen. And I believe when you have good heartfelt prayer, you can have that peace. If you ain't got peace, I sincerely beg of you to seek the Lord until you find it. I believe in an oh-soul salvation. I tell you, I want people to have that peace that the Lord allowed me to have. I'll mention this here because I love Miss Leanne back there. I tell you, if it wouldn't have been for Brother Marty, I don't know if I'd ever been saved. I worked for him when he was working for Rita, and Hannah had been on to me to go to church. I just wouldn't go. I was just dead set in that. I would not go. And I was out there mowing volunteer corn down, and it was miserable. And I asked Marty about that, and Marty encouraged me to go. I probably would have never went to church with Hannah if he hadn't encouraged me. I want you to understand, a little bit of encouragement can go such a great long way. Sometimes we underestimate that. But when the Lord's gave you something to do, we need to trust that he's working on the other end of that. We need to have the full trust that he's working on the other end of that. We need leadership of the Holy Spirit in our churches. We can't function without the Spirit. And scattered as I am, I try to get back to my thoughts. If you look over the book of Proverbs in that 16th, it's in the 6th chapter, starting with that 16th verse, and it says, "These 6 things doth the Lord hate, yes, 7 are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, and feet that be swift and running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren." Now we could get into all of these, and you know, we could go through the 10 commandments, and we can go so many places and find things that the Lord says that he hates and that he says is an abomination. We look over, I believe it's Leviticus in the 18th chapter, the 22nd verse. It tells us that he calls homosexuality an abomination. We can find that that's become a big thing in society. And they, you know, when they give them the right to get married, so say, all they've done is made a mockery of what God has called marriage. You know, they fly that rainbow flag and they make a mockery of God's promise. So much of the world makes a mockery of God. I tell you, we're still compelled to call it sin. And we're still compelled to ground ourselves in the truth. If there's anything needed amongst us as a people, it is to ground ourselves in the truth. And you know, you can get down to that last part, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. I guess I won't go full-fledged in that, but I tell you, we ought to pray for those that soweth discord among us. I believe unity is extremely important to the church. If you get on the study of the subject of unity, you can find a great definition of unity would be found over in the book of Philippians in the 2nd chapter in that 2nd verse. It says, "Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind." You can find that written over. It ain't all written the same way, but as far as that one mind and one accord, you can find that written several different places in the Scripture. You can find it over, I believe, the 13th chapter of the book of Corinthians. It's mentioned several times in the book of Romans, mentioned over in the book of Colossians. Unity is extremely important for the church. Because look over, it's wrote to all these churches about them having unity. I believe unity is important. I believe it's, one, important for us to have fellowship with God ourselves. I believe it's important for the church to have unity in amongst it, that it can function. And I believe it's important for us to have unity in amongst one another. Amen. I tell you, if you want a great example of when a church lacks unity is when they sit down to elect pastor. And then, you know, when you come and you sit down and you elect pastor, it's good to see a church elect one person and everybody vote in the same way. It's good to see when a church sits down in conference and they vote on something and they all vote the same way. I'm not talking about one person controlling it and voting the same way. I'm talking about the Spirit of the Lord directing them to vote the same way. We're not dictators. Seems to be some of our brethren struggle with that. Pastors to be a shepherd. They're the care. We're to be servants to the church. Seems to be some confusion with that, and I don't quite understand that. But a point I want to get at is my hope and prayer is that Hilltop has a great unity in amongst it. I want all of our sister churches to have unity. I want to see our churches prosper. What the church wouldn't prosper if we would enter into thy closet for a little while and we would pray in the Spirit. If we would seek counsel with God how to handle things, how much the church wouldn't prosper. I want to see lost people saved. I'm satisfied Hilltop probably has lost people in amongst it. We have about 5 or 6 at Maple Grove that we know of. I'd ask y'all to pray for them. Like some of them been seeking for a long time. I want to see them get that old peace in their heart, and I want to see them tell about it. I don't believe you can enjoy it until you tell about it. Some of the best services I've ever been in is when there ain't no preaching. People stand up, tell about what the Lord done for them. I encourage you, if the Lord has put something on you to do, to follow the Lord. How long has it been since you told your testimony? I mean, think about that for a little while. It's important to tell it. I tell you, every time I try to preach about salvation, I always have to relate back to my own. I tell you, I've heard a lot of good testimonies, but I only for surely know about mine. I was there and I experienced it. The Lord spoke peace to me on a Thursday evening out of Fitzroy. That's the best day of my life. The Lord gave me that whole heartfelt peace. I know where I'm going to go when I die. I don't have a fear of death anymore.
Amen.
Now, I don't look forward to dying. And we might shortly fear the mode. You know, I wouldn't look forward to getting maimed in a car wreck or, you know, my granddaddy got cancer and suffered with that for years. And my granddaddy never was a big man, but when he died, he weighed about 75 pounds. I mean, he was just essentially shrunk down to nothing. I tell you, I wouldn't want that for nobody. That's a cruel disease. But I know that if that's the way I go, I know that I have peace in my heart. I know that when my time comes, I know where I'm going to go. I got that fixed up with the Lord, and if you're here and you're lost, I want you to have that fixed up with the Lord. That's all the Lord's laid on my heart. I know it's probably as scattered as it gets, but I want you to know that I love you. I want to hear that this church prospers in a great and a mighty way. And I love all of y'all, brethren. Any of the preachers here, y'all welcome behind Maple Grove's pulpit anytime. I sincerely love so many of y'all. I'm thankful for what y'all stand for. Brother Jeff, I'll turn it back over to you.